Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
On the air on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Rogers Radio app, and Sportsnet.ca taking us worldwide as well as the United States on the NHL Network and dressing rooms across the National Hockey League. It's HC at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean coming off an emotional night in the National Hockey League. I want to tell you that Dale Hunter from the London Knights will stop by. Not the Hunter that's working for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Hunter that wanted Mark to really go work for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's going to join us in a little bit. And Jacob Voracek, Philadelphia Flyers. He has as many points right now as Sidney Crosby in the NHL. The Flyers beat the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Also chat a little bit about the Edmonton Oilers and what they were able to do at home against the Washington Capitals. Before we get into this, the tragic events of yesterday that unfolded throughout the day, and you had the cancellation of the Toronto Ottawa game last night, but unexpected out of this came this outpouring of emotion towards Canada from around the world, and that included the hockey side of it. And Pittsburgh-Philadelphia last night faced off, and even though it was two American teams, they played O Canada. And we just want to give you a sample of what happened last night at Consol Energy Center. Moment of silence as well in Anaheim as the Buffalo Sabres visited the Ducks. Let's bring in Chris Johnson, reporter Chris on Twitter. And you attended that game last night, and that wasn't your intention going into the day. What was your plan? Chris is obviously dropped off. So
was this something you said?
He's got to get out of the subway.
He was in Pittsburgh last night, so we'll reconnect with Chris. You guys saw the video. You saw and heard the fans singing. That it shouldn't catch me by surprise, but certainly appreciative.
Well, Mac and I both spent you spent your whole career in the United States, correct? And I think there's always an association with the fan base and what the sport of hockey is from a Canadian perspective. And still, you know, I don't know what the demographic numbers are today, but the majority of your roster was usually Canadian players. And I think there's always that special connection between American fan base and what Canada has produced or meant to the sport. So I wasn't overly surprised at the response.
I liked what Pittsburgh did. You know, they step up, they have the flag across the entire ice, they have it on the microphone. I mean, they went, to me, Pittsburgh went a little above and beyond and in a great way. And I, you know, there are a lot of Canadian kids on both teams, but not only the Canadian kids, the American kids and the Europeans, they see this as a terrorist act and they appreciate, you know, the country because they've been involved with Canada so much in their hockey careers.
The article is on Sportsnet.ca, finding warmth on a cold, dreadful day. Here is Chris Johnson. We have you back.
You've got me, guys.
What was your intention when you woke up yesterday? What was your assignment?
Well, you know, I guess like everyone, I woke up on a normal day and, you know, my plan had been to go to Buffalo to watch Connor McDavid play with the Erie Otters in the game they were having at First Niagara Center. And even after watching what happened in Ottawa, I did drive down to Buffalo in the afternoon, and I got to the rink there and you know, and found out around 4 o'clock that the Penguins planned to play O-Canada and did the math and realized I had time to get there. So, you know, it just sort of was an instinctive go there, it would have been hard, I think, for me personally to write a hockey story, a straight-up hockey story yesterday. And so I went to Pittsburgh, and I'll tell you, I'm sure glad I did.
What was it like in the rink?
The best way that I can compare it, and I don't mean to be insensitive with it, it was far more like a playoff game than you normally get during the regular season, especially at this stage of the regular season where it's pretty early. There's a lot of emotion, like surprisingly so, I thought. You know, I guess Penguins Flyers is a rivalry, but, you know, I think that, you know, it felt like it was an occasion, to be honest. And, you know, what also struck me is that it's a pretty simple gesture in a lot of ways to play O Canada. I mean, it's kind of an obvious idea, so to speak, but, you know, I don't ever remember that being done before. And a lot of people were singing, you know, and I found that very touching. I know in speaking with some of the players, such as Sidney Crosby, that he did as well. And it was a powerful moment all around.
Was the vibe exactly what you expected, CJ?
You know, Nick, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, part of me was thinking I might be driving down here and they'll play the anthem and it'll just be dead and it'll be, you know, like Chiefs Predators on a Tuesday night in November or something. You know, like, I wasn't sure what it would be like. I was almost a bit of curiosity maybe that pulled me or that encouraged me to go. But, you know, it's one of those things. I don't mean us necessarily in particular, but in general, I think Canadians sometimes feel that Americans don't always know what's going on in the country. And, you know, that's true to a point. But, you know, something like this, I just thought really is brings people together. It's clear that the people sort of understood, at least on some level, that this was an important day in Canada and North America and globally. And you know, I just thought it was real great that they were saluting our country and standing alongside us with this.
I didn't read your story. I wanted to read it just before I had my nap this afternoon. So I'm saving it. So the gist of what the players and management or coaches were saying, was that the gist of your post-game conversations with them, Chris, solely on this event?
Yeah, I didn't ask one question about the power play or
right.
The Flyers winning the game or anything like that. And, you know, what really struck me, especially, I had a chance to speak with Crosby for, you know, quite some time. And you know, what stuck with me there is that his experience was probably like most of 35 million other Canadians, you know, no different. That he said he watched the news basically all afternoon long because, you know, 8 o'clock games are rather unusual in the league. You probably get a lot more time than normal. And you know, he was worried about a friend. He had a friend, a brother, rather, of a former teammate was working in security at the Canadian Parliament. So at first he was checking on that situation to make sure he was okay. And he was kind of struck by the fact that all the times, you know, he reflected all the times he's been to Ottawa and walked around that area. And he said one thing he always liked about it, and I think I heard other people kind of make this point, was that, you know, that's a part of the city that was always so wide open, and that was kind of what made it special in a way, that you could walk right up to the Parliament over be around there. And he said, you know, I think that's changed now, and I really believe a lot of Canadians felt that way. And you know, it was sort of interesting to see one of our more famous Canadians just kind of experiencing the day just like anyone else.
Reporters' instincts work in different ways when you're called upon. We saw that on Parliament Hill yesterday, and you yourself deciding to travel down to Pittsburgh. Appreciate it. Drive safely, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks, Rick. See you guys.
See you, bud.
Reporter Chris Johnson, yeah. Sportsnet.ca, finding warmth on a cold, dreadful day.
Did you mention that you like to read his articles just before you take a nap?
No, I read before I.
Oh, okay.
I read. We've had, you know, a lot of double headers, so I read whether it's a novel or maybe. You know, I'm reading a great Nelson DeMille model novel right now. So either a novel or sports hockey, typically okay. Hockey stories. All you right. Know,
you never know with you.
No, you don't.
You never know with you.
We have three games. Well, you actually usually do.
But with this,
that's why I asked him.
Yeah. With this is a combination hockey, but more. A great story about, you know, the emotions of yesterday.
Sportsnet Flames has Calgary at home against Carolina tonight. Vancouver's in St. Louis on Sportsnet Canucks. Ryan Miller expected to get that start. And Pittsburgh-Detroit on Sportsnet 360. Last night, the Washington Capitals were in Edmonton. And don't look now, but in the course of a week, Edmonton's gone from rock bottom to Well, this is sort of like the team everybody thought could play, could put up a performance.
You know what I liked about the last couple of games is, and interesting, Taylor Hall's been real good since the opening face-off of this season. You know, he's been real impressive. Nugent Hopkins injured. Eberle, a lot of trade conversation. But this line, the last couple of games, you go head-to-head with Stamkos, head-to-head with Ovechkin last night. Yeah. They're playing a much better game, and they're feeding off it. And they still need it. Their goaltender in the third to win it for them, which is, hey, that happens to lots of teams. But they played two periods, 200 feet, the way you have to play to be successful.
What
and I like their
what
game.
What happened in the third?
In the third?
That
happens.
Traded chances, right. But they didn't really trade chances because what was that?
Their shots on goal
at the time was 12-1.
It wasn't trading chances. It was called giving up chances.
Didn't like their third period.
No, but you know what? If you're Dallas and the coaching staff today, it's, hey, yeah, two solid periods.
Well,
five of the last six or whatever it was in the other game. You know, and then you build off it.
Despite being outplayed in the third period, there wasn't a sense of panic. And Glenn Healy last night showed a great finish to the game where it appeared like the guys were in the right places, taking lanes away, blocking shots. Those are good signs.
And looked a little bit like a fire drill. A little bit.
But it was Taylor Hall blocking the shot.
Better than what we saw in the first four games.
Four years.
And longest homestand of the year. They dropped the first game. Yeah. They've won the last two. They get Carolina on Friday.
And that's a dangerous game in terms of
you've got
Stamkos, you got Ovechkin, and now you got a team that's supposed to be one of the teams that finishes real close in the McDavid sweepstakes. So you hope that they don't let up here.
Isn't it, you know, look, in fairness to Carolina, Eric Staal's out, Jordan Staal's out, but this is a franchise that, like, you go to the finals, you win a cup, and you essentially disappear. Like, right now, they're in a flux, and I get it. In fairness, the big guys are out, but where are they headed? Like, There's a ton of work to be done there. And you think about Bill Peters, who was probably could have had the Pittsburgh job and didn't take it.
I've thought of that over and over and over for the last week and a half.
What was he thinking?
Well, you know,
what was he thinking?
What he's thinking is, I've got a lot of time on my hands with Carolina.
And does he?
Yes. Who can?
I'm not saying this
one
year.
One coach has a lot of time.
Yeah.
Think about the pressure in Pitt, or think about the pressure in Carolina.
But just a minute.
That's where I'm coming from.
Don't you want to win?
Don't you want? Hey, if you have a chance to coach Sidney Crosby and Malkin,
he turned it down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where was his head? When you got a chance to coach the best players in the world. Pressure, no pressure. Isn't that what you thrive on?
There's a.
How's Johnson feeling today? Losing to Pitt. Think he's feeling
probably better than Peters
losing to Philly.
Probably better than Peters is feeling. He loses.
Not a good feeling that losing that game.
But there's something bizarre, by the way. Philadelphia in Pittsburgh in that new building. They own them. 10-1-1. 10-1-1 since that building opened. But there's a set.
Amazing.
Just about 25-30 feet to our right. It has red chairs on it in front of a coffee table. George Strombolopoulos sits there, and he does these long-form interviews. I want him to sit Bill Peters down, and I want him to find out. Because George has this mystic way to get answers.
It's like a psych evaluation.
Yes. I want George to sit Peters down and get that answer. Hey, here's Dale Hunter.
I have a question
just,
first.
Just before we go there. Dale.
Yes.
If you were offered the Carolina job or the Pittsburgh job, and they're side by side, which job would you take to coach?
Ooh, that's...
It's an easy one.
Nothing against that. I like that Sidney kid pretty good.
Yeah. Listen, why do we have you on? Your brother's a star.
That's true.
Hey, we went with a hunter with a personality. Come on.
Oh, that's why. Okay, now I get why. It. I get it. Sorry about that. Still a star in our mind.
Is it true? Here's Dale Hunter from the Londonites. Is it true that you submitted Mark's application to get him the hell out of there?
No, you know, something's a long time coming, but well-deserved for him. He worked, you know, you guys all know how much hard he works. He's out there a lot and finding players. He's got a good eye. You know, it's from trading to drafting, and drafting is projection. And he's got what they're going to be down 2-3 years down the road. It's a tough call when you pick them at 15, 16, just like with National Hockey. They pick them at 17. What are they going to be like when they're 19 or 20? That's projection. And some make it and some don't.
Well, was Mark always looking for an opportunity like this with such responsibility?
I don't know, Kipper, if he was, you know, looking like he was out there. You know, there's nothing better than being in the National Hockey League. Here we're adult developmental league, and players and coaches and managers and scouts, and that's kind of what we're about as a league. And we put good players, good people out, and it's just go from players to, you got Spotter, you got Pete DeBoer, you got, you know, now Mark, you know, it's good for our league, and it's good for players to get a chance to move up, and well deserved.
I guess when I was coaching Mark in St. Louis, I didn't envision him really getting into coaching and management. If we kept a drill going too long on the ice, he'd skate by me and say, "Okay, how about flipping the record?" Or you remind me a lot of Jack Tex Evans with your drills. He always had like a comment, you know, and he didn't really get into the new drill philosophy that much, you know? Basic old school guy.
Yeah, it definitely. You know, it's funny. You play the game, and we all have, and it's like, you know, when you get on the other side of it, everything changes from coaching to managing, that you see the bigger picture, I guess. Sometimes as a player, you see a little picture, kind of worry about yourself a little bit, and we all have did that. Right, Kipper?
Absolutely.
Did he ever?
Yes, he did. But when you come to the management or coaching, you know, it's a different thing. You got to worry about the whole team.
Dale Hunter is with us, the head coach of the London Knights on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean.
So Darren was joking the other day that this has Don Cherry's fingerprints all over it based on their draft record over the last few years. Have you got any side bets on whether or not we'd see maybe someone from Sweden be a first-round pick again in the next few years?
No, I think anything, you know, Cameron, is like, you know, you're going to pick the best player, and I think most NHL teams do that. You know, there's great players everywhere, and you know, definitely we're Canadians. We love Canadian players. We all do, and but, you know, there's good players in the States and over in Europe. Like, we had Olli Maatti here. We picked him, and you can see what he did. He's a character guy that just comes to play every night.
I want to be in the meeting when Mark has got a guy on the board and the analytics department start to break it down. And there's a bit of a discrepancy between the scouting and the analytics.
Now you remember Mark and Kyle know each other very well.
Oh, I know that. I'm trying to get to the meat of this, Darren. You know, it's not about who you know. It's philosophy. And where does Mark stand on this?
You know, Doug, it's like everything where me and Mark, we didn't agree on every player that he was drafting. And, like, he went out wearing me, but, you know, and he had to show me, or I like the player. I said, let's trade for this player. I had to show him why, you know, and it's like the biggest question is you got to sell it. Both sides, whoever, which way it's going, has to sell it to each other and come to a common ground. And, you know, me and Mark, we argued a few times about players and this, and he'd come down, you got to play this guy more. And then, you know, sometimes it works out great. Sometimes he comes back down and he goes, holy shit, don't play him anymore. He's terrible. So, you know what I mean, though? You got to work together, and I think that's what's good about him, that him and Kyle and Brandon will be great that way, that you throw ideas off each other, and you got to show why you like this guy so much or you don't like him so much. So it's going to be a lot of hockey talk going on in there, I bet.
Live on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, we're with Dale Hunter.
Yeah.
Live on the air on Sportsnet 590
On the
Fan.
Family show, Hockey Central at noon.
He starts bringing up arguing with his brother, and everything goes to,
yes.
to, the hell in a handbasket.
So, Hunts, if you're in a situation now when it's gut instinct time or hard facts between you and Mark over the last few years, who came out on top? The gut check guy?
Instinct, you know, again, it's a feel. You have to feel it too. And the stats got to back it up. And I think you put two together. I think you got a good combination where you are going to find all the facts, and that's important anymore. Where, you know, it's you got to find the facts, but also you got to have a gut feeling. And sometimes that's why players surprise you late rounds come in, because the guy had his stats weren't that good, but he had tons of character, and he got better because of it.
I know how he got the job. I know how Mark got this job. He said, Brendan, Kyle, Dave, go to the National Hockey League stats pack, flip it over to where it says leaders in goals.
Hmm.
And look, who's at the top? Rick Nash. Where did he play?
London.
London. Okay. And who else has 8 goals? Corey, where did he play?
London.
Yeah. So are you going to hire
me
or not?
They do develop players, Nick, in London.
That's not what you said fair.
Oh, no, that's... Remember, we had a little argument in June in our seminar. Anyway, let's just... Last night on Scotiabank Wednesday Hockey, Glenn Healy and Nick Kypreos had a to-the-point or whatever it's called.
To-the-point.
To-the-point. And the debate was, is Ovechkin coachable? Nick, of course, said he was. Grudgingly, he had to take that side. They made him.
I won.
And Healy said he's not. And I thought, you know, who better to ask?
You're the tiebreaker.
Than either you, Boudreaux, Glenn Hanlon,
Adam Oates. That's it. We've run out of
names.
Glenn Hanlon. Like,
and you.
Like Ovi, he's a special player. Where his strengths are scoring goals, and he hits people. He's a star person that can really he scares the crap out of the D when he's forechecked, because he's a big man. He hits hard, and he can score goals. And his passing is better than what everybody thinks, because he can make nice plays.
But we know all that, Dale. Is he coachable?
Yeah, he is. Okay. You know something though? He's just he's not Bob Gainey, out there defensively. But by watching, I think Trotsky, I watched the last couple games. Trotsky's doing a good job with him. He's got some picking up the right guys. And you need star players. They're not all going to be, Selke winners. And he's not going to be a Selke winner, but you still need goals. And he will, he's got to figure out his defense a little bit more. And that's the only thing that coaches sometimes question about.
Just for interest's sake, though. We mentioned Nash and Perry leading the National Hockey League in goals. Ovechkin is third.
Right.
And who had him? But Dale. So maybe Dale should have had the job.
Well, my question is, you still haven't... Who did you vote for last night? Kypreos, who said he is coachable, or Healy, who said he's not coachable? How did you cast your vote last night in that show?
If I was going to cast, I'd have to go with Kipper. I hate to say that, but I do.
Thanks, Dale.
The reason is that
you don't like Healy
players, and they're all are going to be sound defensively, and as long as they, as far as coachable, he's like when I had Ovi, he never said anything back to me. He never backtalked. He listened to the video. He never said nothing. So definitely he was coachable that way. Where he tried to do what I told him, but. He could have given me attitude. He had none. He listened, and sometimes he didn't pick up the right guys, but hopefully he's learning as he gets older.
So that, from my experience with you in Washington, he's more coachable than you were.
Hey, come on. That's being mean.
Hey, Dale, when are you going to... We've got this great new setup. Why don't you come and hang out with us for an hour? Come in.
He gets nervous when he gets into the big city.
Is that true?
No. You guys do great. We listen to you every day. So, and I like it when you put Kipper down a bit. He needs that.
Oh, no. He needs to be put in his place.
Hey, I had my first.
Captain of the Caps. I always had to sit him down.
He's a little cocky, isn't he, Dale?
First 3 years, I had Dale Hunter saying, sit down, chum. Sit down, chum.
Well, you had two real good mentors there. You had Dale and Clint Malarchuk.
No, I didn't have Clint.
Oh, you were gone before Clint.
Gone.
Oh, Clint was gone
Don
before.
Beaupre.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Clint was gone.
And Bob Mason.
Yeah.
Keep it.
And Warren Strelo helped out a little too. Warren.
Keep churning out the players out there in London, and you guys did a great job in Rogers' hometown hockey.
Hey, quickly, before we let you go, we got to ask you. Like, you got Max Domi back. What's going on? You're going to trade him? You're going to keep him? Give us a little bit of CHL scoop here, chum.
Yeah, we're keeping him. You know, Max, he came back, and he's been great. He's playing both ends of the ice. He's been great for us. He's been good in the dressing room. He knows that we got a lot of young guys. We still got Bo out there. We still got Fedorov in Buffalo. And so he's picked it up where he's really taken over the dressing room as being a leader. So that's good. And Phoenix will love to hear that, where we've been telling them at both ends of the ice and being a leader, and that's what Phoenix is looking for.
I'm going to come down some night with Ty and watch a game. He's invited me down. I'm anxious to do that sometime.
We're short on time.
You enjoy it.
Yeah.
But if with Mark gone, yeah, you got to pick up the slack on chirping your goalie coach,
Bill
Dark.
What's that job pay?
Thanks, Dale. Be good. There's Dale Hunter, the head coach of the London Knights.
When we can give me a chance to find out what it pays.
That's when he hung up.
That's the highest paying job in the league.
We got to fly. I'll tell you why. Jacob Voracek's coming up from the Philadelphia Flyers. There's a reason why we have to get to break and get him on. And we'll explain that to you. I wonder if he'll be honest with us. If not, then we'll bust on him. It's Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon here on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Rogers radio app. Darren Millard, along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Here is the man that produced a couple of points last night for the victorious Philadelphia Flyers in Pittsburgh, Jacob Voracek. Are you going to be honest with us why we have to get you on now and we can't talk for more than 7 minutes? What you have lined up?
I'm good to go, guys.
Okay, what do you have scheduled? You're live on the air with us with Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. What do you have scheduled in 10 minutes that you can't hang out with us any longer?
I was scared that you guys are going to ask me that question.
Jacob.
I got to cut my mob a little bit.
Do you like a little off the side, or you just take it right down to the wood here?
You know what, guys? I don't get many haircuts, so I'm just gonna trim it up a little bit.
A little trim.
And we'll go from there.
You can tell when you watch him. Hair is really important to Jacob.
It's important to everybody, is it not?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. If you have a good hair, you gotta sell it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the only part of my body when I'm looking good with. So you're go with that.
You and Hartnell are similar in that vein, eh?
Yeah, but Hachi's now gone in Columbus, so I took that porch and I got to run with it.
Yeah, so you know what? Scotty's cleaned it up. He's nice, trim, neat. Up, yeah.
Good. It was about time.
Can you explain why you guys enjoy so much success inside that Consol Energy Center? Because it is a ridiculous record of Flyers against the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know, because obviously everybody knows that Pittsburgh is one of the best teams in the league, and you know, I think since that series back in 2012, I don't know. I think they're a little bit intimidated to playing us, and you know, it's hard to really explain. But you know, when we go there, we feel really confident that we can win the games, and that's exactly the you know. But if we're gonna play the same way we did yesterday for every other game, we should win every game. We played like a team. We played together, and you know, we really deserve to win yesterday.
One of our colleagues, Chris Johnson, was at the game, and he described it as playoff atmosphere. Is that the way you guys feel when you play against the Pittsburgh Penguins? Is there that extra added emotion, because it certainly gets picked up that way?
Yeah, I would say so, because you know, obviously it's a rivalry night. You know, 8 o'clock games on NBC, and you know, it was something special for sure. And you know, for every player, you get kind of a little bit more excited, and you know, it's fun. That's why you play hockey, for those games, and you know, everybody really enjoyed them.
Jacob, Timonen not being there, I mean, obviously the seriousness of his injury, sickness, whatever, however they classify it, big loss for your defense.
Yeah, of course, it's huge. You know, Kimo is such a huge presence on the blue line, you know, with experience to power play, to blocking shots, to playing defense. Obviously, you know, it's nobody expected that's going to happen, but, you know, in the end, it's, sometimes you got to go through that. And, you know, the good teams find a way to win games and, you know, fill up those holes. And, you know, I don't think we had a bad start. We just, you know, we were all, in every game, we were right there until the third period to win the game. So, you know, obviously it's tough to lose Kimo, but, you know, hopefully he'll be back and, you know, he'll get better.
Jake Voracek, who has as many points this year as Sidney Crosby, joining us from the Philadelphia Flyers on Hockey Central at noon. Are you a guy, back to the haircut, are you a guy that finds somebody, sticks with them or her, or are you somebody that bounces around and it doesn't really matter? You'll trust a random person to go to town on your head?
Like I said, last three or four years, you know, I just, that was one haircut for me a year. So I kind of changed it up right now and, you know, because I'm kind of sweating a little bit more, you know, as I get older, so I need to trim it up and, you know, have a first haircut in a while during the season.
They say you've changed a few things up here, that you came into camp a little lighter and single digits in the body fat here. Is this the complete makeover here, Jake?
No, obviously, you know, it was a good summer for me, you know, nutritioning wise. And, you know, I trimmed up a little bit, I would say about by 10 pounds and, you know, wanted to try some new things. And, you know, obviously I feel lighter. I feel better on the ice. You know, I lose that a little bit of that weight in the board battles, but, you know, I feel quicker, which is, I think, helping me in the board battles to get out of trouble. And, you know, I feel good so far, but it's just a little beginning. Just got to contain it, you know.
Jacob, a lot of kids come over from Europe and play major junior. We don't, you know, we don't think of it as that big a deal. You leave Czechoslovakia, you come to Halifax, big change. Ehlers, a European kid that's a star in Halifax, now drafted by Winnipeg. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, that was, I think, to be honest, it was my best decision I made, you know, hockey decision in my entire life. Because, you know, as a 17-year-old kid, I just turned 17, you never know what a new life's going to bring you, you know. And, you know, I'm the mama's boy, so I didn't know what to expect to be away from my family. And you know, I didn't speak any English. I learned through the season. You know, the guys that we had, a great teammates in Halifax. That was a really great experience. And I don't think if I would leave back in the day, I don't think I would make it this far.
We appreciate you taking the time and squeezing us in between a victory last night and a haircut today. We can't wait to see the end result of this thing.
Are you a big tipper?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm not cheap. So you know, if she did a good job, I'm sure I'll take care of her.
I thought you were going to say get frosted tips. Is what I thought
no,
say.
No.
Congratulations on the performance last night and the individual success that you're enjoying right now.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
I remember in his draft year, he was obviously, Columbus drafted him, and I was there right through till May. And I remember our scouts talking about this kid in Halifax and what a great two-way guy he was. And Bruce Hickey, who at that time was the regional scout, was all over this guy. So it's kind of fun to see how he's become a star. He's a star right now, you know that?
Who's the regional scout?
Bruce Hickey was.
You know,
for Columbus.
Our Bruce?
Yeah.
You had him as a regional scout?
Worked the Maritimes. I didn't. Don Boyd did.
Oh.
He was a bit of a scout chauffeur.
He barely organizes Friday lunch in Summerside.
He's a bit of a scout chauffeur.
Yeah, you know, you're a talented guy when you come on our show and say, yeah, I wanted to try something new this summer. Like working out.
Nutrition.
You know what, though? Single.
Like nutrition.
Listen, it's like you
try something
when
new,
you say single digits for his, is, and that's a big deal, single digits for body fat for a player. Now,
what
Mills,
do you think yours would be right now?
Well, I know what. Greg Millen's, when he was a goaltender in the NHL, was 22%. And Walmer, Rick Walmsley, who was his partner, was a touch higher. So the single digits is pretty good.
But I you know him a little bit. I don't know how well you know Jacob Voracek, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I
But he
I
comes
don't
on
know
here
him.
And had a hell of a lot of fun.
He's terrific. He's got a great personality.
I appreciate that.
But I'll tell you what, he's a player too, isn't he?
The Toronto-Ottawa game that was postponed yesterday in the wake of the events in downtown Ottawa has officially been rescheduled. Toronto at Ottawa will now take place at the Canadian Tire Center on Sunday, November 9th. Face-off will be 6 o'clock. I know a lot of people travel to those games. So 6 o'clock on Sunday night, the official rescheduling from the National Hockey League.
And you know what? It's great that they can fit it in early because we ran into problems last year with trying to fit in some games. And it, you know, it's tough on teams as you go down that stretch to the playoffs when you've got those extra games. So good on the league and good on everybody for being able to fit it in
Before American Thanksgiving, which is the third week in November.
By the way, I'm shocked. There's a game on American Thanksgiving in Nashville. Is Edmonton in Nashville? Is that the first time in...
Are you scheduled to work that
in
game?
I'm ticked off.
There it is. That's what it's all about.
What the hell is a game doing on American Thanksgiving?
What's your language? What do you think you are, Dale Hunter?
Trying to figure out why you would even know that, but then
it's Thursday night.
It comes back to you.
It's a joke. you have a game on Thanksgiving.
You do work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yes.
You are available every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
It's always coming back to you.
You want to fire through the three stars? You okay to do that right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Last night, the Anaheim Ducks beat the Buffalo Sabres, which is beginning to look a little awkward for the Sabres this year. You expect a team to struggle, but man, this is going to be one long year. I don't even know whether Carolina can keep pace with them.
About
but Corey Perry
and Georges.
Yeah. What they did. Corey Perry goes out, fires another hat trick, his second of the year, and the fastest player to 8 goals in Anaheim Duck history, a one-man wrecking crew. Rick Nash and Corey Perry tied for the NHL in goals right now. And
how about
Corey
his first
Perry,
goal, though?
Yeah. These ones weren't just bank it off a leg or...
Everybody in the building touched the puck on his first goal. That's how great it was. But the little redirect off of Getzlaf's pass in the neutral zone was...
He even went posting in on the empty
one
netter.
For the ages. It was phenomenal if you haven't seen it.
And talk about a player, and Dale Hunter, we were joking about him, but talk about a player that... You talk about scouting. What, this guy fall to 25 in that draft? One of the best drafts of all time, and he falls to 25. In that range. How does that happen? I think it was around that time.
And that was our Memorial Cup in the lockout year, and it was Crosby versus Perry.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Who's your second star?
I went with Scrivens.
Yes, I know that.
Yes. And
why did you ask?
Because we had to get him to say it before the time runs out. Like pontificating about something else.
This is not who's
We're
the
in the three-star segment. You can't jump all over the
there's
place.
There's no clock on the Wisers segment on Scotiabank.
JP Wisers.
Hockey. Yes, there's no clock here, okay? So I'm okay saying Scrivens. At my leisure.
There's a clock,
okay?
And it's getting close to the end.
And he reminded everybody that, you know, with all due respect to how good Nugent Hopkins plays or Taylor Hall, this game, today's game, if you don't get great goaltending, you have a tough time winning. And Scrivens has gone from a very rough start to showing everybody why they... Edmonton Oilers believed in him when they picked him up last season. He's been great. He's given up what, 5 goals in the last 3 games, and he's their star. He's my star.
Doug? I had a problem because my my emails don't pop up in my thing. I don't know how to change it so the notifications pop up. So that's why I was 20 minutes late on the conference call yesterday.
That's why you're working Thanksgiving.
And that's why you beat me to Scrivens because it didn't pop up quick enough. I'm taking Taylor Hall.
And I'm going back. Yeah, I know he wasn't the first star of the game, but I'll tell you, he's that important to that hockey team. And I love watching him play. Healy tried to justify him doing a 1-on-4. It didn't make any sense to me last night, but that's fine. A lot of things like that. But he's that important to that hockey team, boy, I'm telling you. And he's playing with emotion like I haven't seen.
Heels isn't even here to defend himself.
Yeah, I know. I wish he was, but
he does a pretty good job of that, though. He'll find a way to get back at you.
That's fine. I'll find a way to get back at him.
I just know he will not let that just.
And round
away.
And round we go.
Anaheim 6-1, and that matches their best 7-game start in franchise history. So Anaheim in a regular season just picks right up where they left off.
So Buffalo, I mean,
I don't know where Buffalo ends up. It's Buffalo has the making right now for one of those all-time worst seasons.
And you think about Gionta and Georgia signing there and trying to bring a bit of veteran presence into that room.
They'll find a way to win a few games.
Oh, so you're just saying, you're saying it's early.
Yeah.
It's early. Things will even out. They're 1-6.
They've got to try that Latvian change that guys we were talking about last night, where the guy goes in the bench and comes out the far end. They get a breakaway. They got to try that some night.
Well, Buffalo, you were not in the preseason.
No, you
Buffalo.
You did a whole segment on the benches.
There's three doors.
Yeah, so it's perfect for that.
Three doors. There's name another rink where there's three doors.
Yeah. And maybe they should have bench. Two guys coming out and then go on a 2-on-0. I love that play.
So what game do you have tonight, Mac?
Seven games played this year for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Soak this in. Their goal differential is -17 in seven games.
You know, it's like a Pee Wee team. I'm kidding. I'm just giving, you know.
You're not.
So where are you guys working today? What do you have, Mac?
Timmy Murray is trying to build it the right way, and it's tough right now, tough sledding. But like you said, they'll win some games.
Now, do you have Vancouver or Calgary tonight, Mac?
I have Vancouver and St. Louis tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing St. Louis. The thing is St. Louis's defense Stanley Cup caliber? Is there goaltending Stanley Cup caliber? Still some questions in St. Louis for me.
What are you working tonight?
I've got Pittsburgh-Detroit, which is...
On 360.
With Jeff Merrick and Mike Johnson.
How far can we take this where you're just going to repeat everything that I say?
Interesting.
Everything that you say.
To see how Vancouver responds. I mean, not that they played, they had such a bad start and Miller was not good.
They're down 6-1.
Yeah, wow. But they outshot them 40-20 or something crazy in the game. But Miller was awful. Miller's going into St. Louis, but how is Vancouver going to respond tonight will be interesting to see.
Was it Hockey Central at noon that you said we need to find someone grumpy in Vancouver?
I said I didn't. Who's grumpy in Vancouver?
And we said
now,
we couldn't come up with anybody.
Ed Willis didn't have anybody, and what happens? Yep. Ryan Miller goes out and allows a bunch of goals really early.
And now he could fall into that category.
I would think.
He's not happy. He's got way too much pride to feel good now, so he'll come back. He'll have a strong game against St. Louis.
Yep. Just want to get some business out of the way. UEFA Europa League doubleheader follows Hockey Central at noon today.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Lille. I was curious about that.
Don't make fun of soccer.
I'll use that around my nap time as well. I've got two things to do now.
Go on.
Just for 20 seconds, so I don't get in trouble with the bosses. Everton is at Lille on the of the Barclays Premier League. That's Everton of the Barclays Premier League. And 3 o'clock, Tottenham hosts a Greek club, Asteris Tripoli.
Who's at 3?
White Hart Lane.
Are there pregame shows for that?
Nope. But who's at 3?
Comes up right at 1 o'clock, Lille and Everton. And at 3 o'clock, Tottenham and
Asteris
Tripoli.
Okay, you are never allowed to do that again. You weren't very good at it.
I couldn't get 20 seconds of silence.
Looking forward to that 3 o'clock game.
It was like going to commercial last night. Just for 20 seconds, let me get J.P. Weiser's out so they know that they're getting.
I wasn't there then when that happened, was I? I was in the psych ward.
You were in the studio audience.
Psych ward.
Georgia set, the lounge. Thanks to Jake Voracek and Chris Johnson, Dale Hunter as well.
Beep.
Hockey Central at noon. Thanks you for listening and watching on this Thursday.